Okay. Let's discuss four differences between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. How are they different physically, symbolically, experientially? So the first difference is, of course, which part of the body they're placed, the first two differences. Tefillin Shel Rosh are placed on your head because the theological ideas contained in the tefillin are meant to be ideas you think about and process and absorb. And the Tefillin Shel Yad are placed on your head because Judaism, and Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this in Rabbi Kahn's Sefer, you can look it up in the end. Judaism is this merging between thought, ideas, values, how you define your Judaism, what you believe in, the tenets, so to speak, and mitzvahs and performances and activities. And that's why the Gemara says, source number one, that when they went to war, remember the Kohen announced that whoever has averos should go back and shouldn't join the war? So according to the Gemara in Menachos, what averos was he referring to? Sach bein tefila letefila, avera biyado, v'chozer alea me'archei mechama. That if you talk between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, then you're committing an avera. And that type of avera is grave enough for you to withdraw from the war. Because this merging between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh represents, in Yiddishkeit, a merging between thought, ideas, and concepts, placing these fundamental, seminal ideas on your head and believing in them, and in practice, implementing them. And there can't be a gap between them. There can't be only a focus or an involvement in one of them at the expense of the other. And in fact, not only does the Gemara in Menachos talk about that you shouldn't separate the two, but also the sequencing is important. So the Yishalmi in Chagiga, source number two, talks about someone who's at a funeral, and without getting into the details of the Yishalmi, but it was said about one of the people being buried that he wasn't the biggest tzaddik. So he asked, I mean, he seemed like he was a big chassid. Why are you calling him a tzaddik? What avera did he commit? So the Yishalmi says, Ma chova avera hu chassida. What avera did that person commit that you're impugning his character? Chat lo aved chova meyome. He didn't do anything wrong his entire life. Elapam, one time, hiktim tefillin shel rosh tefillin shel yad. He put on Tefillin Shel Rosh before Tefillin Shel Yad. So not only do Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad have to be merged, but Shel Yad has to come before Shel Rosh. And this person, when he was buried, was seen as inferior because he once put on Tefillin Shel Rosh before Tefillin Shel Yad. So in Judaism, not only are the two areas of thought and ideas and practice and commandments meant to be merged, but there's a clear hierarchy. First comes practice, and then comes thought. And you're thinking about Judaism and you're thinking about why you believe and thinking about mitzvahs, but you can't wait to find all the answers to practice. And I think you've understood this year that, first of all, part of understanding is practicing, and understanding isn't just cognitive and intellectual, it's also experiential. And the more you practice, the more you understand, not just with your mind, but with your overall experience. So it's not just that the two have to be merged, but that Tefillin Shel Yad has to precede Tefillin Shel Rosh. Because, and Rav writes this, you can read it in Rav Kahn's book, because the mitzvahs come before the thought and the buy-in. Relatedly, there's a second image and contrast between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. I mentioned the Yad being the arm of implementation and the arm of activity. But you don't just put it on your arm. If so, you'd wear it here on your hand or maybe on your wrist. But you place it on your forearm, on your biceps. Why? So the Gemara says, turn the page, source number seven, this comes from the juxtaposition of tefillin in the second section of Hayom Shema, source 17, the Samtem Estivarai Eila, the end of source 17 is the Gemara Menachos. You should place these ideas of Torah al levachem, ukshartem leos al yadchem. You should tie them on your hand. So you tie them on your hand, al levachem, near your heart. And that's why you don't place your tefillin on your palm, on the back of your hand, on your trite, you place them on the part of the arm that's kineged alev. So placing Tefillin Shel Yad is not just on your hand to symbolize activity as opposed to just thought, but it's also kineged alev. In that respect, it's meant to contrast and complement thought versus emotion, and thought versus piety, and thought, not just thought versus action, but thought versus belief, passion. The mind is the center of cognition, of ration, empiricism. The heart is empirical. The heart is the center of your emotions, of your spirituality, of faiths that you buy into, that you, when you love someone, it's not cognitive, you just are in love with something or someone or some experience, and it's just a passion, and it happens in your heart and happens in your gut, and there's no way to explain it or justify it or argue it or try to rationalize it. It's just the truth that you accept. So the same way that the Shalyad and the Shalrosh merge, as the Rav said, thought and activity, thought and action, they also merge thought and emotion. And it's the same merging that can't be separated. That's why if you talk between Tefillin Shalyad and Tefillin Shalrosh, you can't join the war. And not only the merging, but also the sequencing. That faith and piety and delivered truths have to drive the engine of religion. They have to spur thought. You try to analyze this world, you try to analyze religion, you try to find answers, but you have to buy in Nasa V'Nishma. First you buy into those faiths that have been delivered to you, and then you put on the Shalrosh and you try to discover and use your brain and your mind to illustrate and to amplify and to personalize the experiences. So those are the two primary contrasts between Shalyad and Shalrosh. Shalrosh is thought. Shalyad is either activity or emotion. Now, where it becomes really interesting is that in that vein, the Shalrosh is compartmentalized. It has four separate sections to it. Whereas the Shalyad is all one boxed housing. With the premise being that when we think about life, we do think in segmented forms. We cut aside a certain area of inquiry. We frame a certain question that we're dealing with. So our thought process in general and our thought process about religion resembles the architecture of Tefillin Shalrosh. But our emotions and our heart, our emotions spill onto one another. They're all integrated. We don't segment, now I'm choosing to feel anger and I'm choosing to feel pain, I'm choosing to feel... Our emotions are much more holistic. So when we think about ideas, we compartmentalize them. And suddenly our action is more holistic. So think about not just the difference between thought and activity, but think about the difference how thought is much more segmented and activity has to be more integrated. And that's why the Shalrosh is separate housing and separate parshios, and the Shalyad is much more integrated. So that's one major difference. The Shalrosh signifies the head, the mental center. The Shalyad is both an arm and a heart, a little of each. The second difference is one is very, very public and one is very, very private. When the Gemara says, V'ro kol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaro mimecha, source number 7, that everyone will see your tefillin, the pasuk in Kisavo. Tanya b'lezer agadol, elu tefillin shalrosh. That's referring to specifically tefillin shalrosh, which are meant to be visible. You're not supposed to cover your tefillin shalrosh. They'll see the Shem Hashem, the announcement. In fact, tefillin has many, many nicknames to them, but two of the nicknames refer specifically to tefillin shalrosh, and each of them have a public element to them. So, for example, a more famous nickname of tefillin, and specifically tefillin shalrosh, is the word totafos, which appears 3 times. Now, totafos is a strange word. What does totafos really mean? But Tosfos in Menachos, which I didn't quote for you, I assume you've seen it, but then I realize you haven't learned tefillin yet, says that totafos means two things, and they're related. One is, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, it's an ornament worn on your head. There's a certain ornament called totafos, and the Gemara in Shabbos wants to know, can a woman walk out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos with that ornament? Or is it considered carrying? It depends on how tightly it's fastened to her forehead. So that's an ornament. So the word totafos suggests that tefillin is supposed to be a jewel. Of course, not a jewel in the sense of a precious gem, but a jewel because you're wearing Hashem's name. And like all jewelry, people are looking at it and getting benefit from looking at it. And then Tosfos says Teltafos also means, and he quotes the Gemara, to look at. So it's right in between, of course, these two meanings are convergent. It's called an ornament because people look at it. And you look at things, it's called an ornament. But Tosfos actually parses them into two approaches. But somehow the word Teltafos means something that you wear proudly, that people are going to look at, like Rabbi Lezer HaGadol said, V'ro kalamei aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha, not just Jews, but everyone, which is why Rabbi Akiva had a third definition of Teltafos. If you look at the Gemara, source number 6, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's also in Menachos, Rabbi Akiva says that Teltafos is a code word for 4. Why? Because tet in African is 2, and tet in Katfi, some language is 2. Look at the end of source 6. And pat, peitet, in African is also 2. So when the Torah says totafos, it's a conjugation of tat-pat, which is 4. And hence it's a reference to tefillin shalrosh. Why do you think the Torah would use foreign languages to describe tefillin? Anytime the Torah uses a foreign language as a code, you want to ask yourself, why is the Torah choosing this instance and this mitzvah to speak in a foreign language? And the answer is because tefillin has an international broadcast, because we're not just meant to shower tefillin to Jews. People are supposed to look at our tefillin in a perfect world and see Hashem's name and be inspired by the overt presentation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So being that I'm wearing my tefillin not just for Ariel to see, but for the non-Jew to see as well, so it's articulated in a way that suggests foreign languages. So Totafot is one word that's used about tefillin shel rosh that captures its public nature, its ornamental, its beauty, it causes people to look at it, it's in a foreign language. There's another phrase for tefillin that is exclusive to tefillin shel rosh, or at least predominantly tefillin shel rosh. If you take a look at source number, let's take a look at source number 11. The Gemara says in Brachos that an Avel has to perform every single mitzvah, chutz min ha-tefillin, the one mitzvah than an Avel, not an Onein. An Onein is pre-burial, but post-burial, when you're mourning, you're chayiv in every single mitzvah except for tefillin. Now, our minhag is much, much less contracted. We don't, Avel puts on tefillin most of the days, but the first day doesn't put on tefillin. He's an Avel excuse in tefillin if he's chayiv in mitzvah, and Onein is pater for mitzvahs because he's osik with mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. But why does an Avel not wear tefillin? Shari nemar bam pe'er. Because tefillin are called pe'er, because Hashem tells Yechezkel in Perek, I think Tezayin, I forget where, Mem, I think, that Yechezkel is supposed to mimic Avelos for the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem tells Yechezkel, in order to demonstrate what an Avel is like, take off your tefillin and show everyone that you're mourning. And Hashem tells Yechezkel, take off your pe'er. So tefillin is called beauty, glory, and an Avel shouldn't be walking around with things that are glorious and beautiful. So Hashem tells Yechezkel, take off your tefillin, take off your pe'er. Now, the Gemara in Tainus, source 13, says that when we apply ashes to the head of a chasan, when he's getting married, to show that he's thinking about Yerushalayim, hecha manach lehu, where do we place it? Am Reb Yitzchak b'makom tefillin. We place it on his head, where he wears tefillin, not on his forehead like an Indian, but on his hair. Why? Based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, I quoted in source 12. Lasum la'avelei tzion, latet lahem pe'er tachat efer. One day Hashem says, I will console and redeem the mourners of Zion, and I'll put pe'er back where there's been efer. So the efer, now that we're mourning, is b'makom pe'er, and one day Hashem will replace the pe'er and put it into the place of ashes. So you see from this Gemara that the word pe'er, when it's applied to tefillin, is about right here. Your tefillin shel rosh. Not your tefillin shel yad, because you don't put ashes on your arm. Put ashes right here, but makom tefillin shel rosh. So these are two words which are suggestive of the public, beautiful, ornamental nature of tefillin shel rosh that everyone's looking at, which implies that you're sending a message to all of humanity, that you're wearing Shem Hashem, and our placement in this world, as I talked about this morning, is not just to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to spread knowledge of Hashem, and to say Shema Yisrael. And when we're wearing tefillin shel rosh, we're reminding people of that special bond between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because remember, Hashem wears tefillin shel rosh. Remember we talked about that Gemara, that Hashem showed Moshe his kesher shel tefillin? We don't have the Gemara saying that Hashem wears tefillin shel yad. So in theory, at least, whatever that means in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wears tefillin shel rosh. So when we wear tefillin shel rosh, that's our special bond with Hashem. V'roh kol amei aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha. And that's why tefillin shel rosh has most of the letters of Hashem's name. But when the Torah describes tefillin shel yad, it uses a very interesting word. Look at the Gemara, source number 17. V'haya lecha lios, lecha lios, v'lo lacherim lios. Your tefillin shel yad, it's the exact opposite. It's very private. That's why we cover our tefillin shel yads. So we place our shirt over the tefillin shel yad, or our jacket, or our talis, and we don't cover tefillin shel rosh. Because they're contrasting specifically in this point. Tefillin shel rosh is a pe'er. Tefillin shel rosh is a jewel. It's a totafos. People are looking at it. You're broadcasting. Tefillin shel yad is, even if you never broadcast or spread the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just... there's something very, very powerful about your private relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if you're not able to inspire anyone, and even if you're living in a world that isn't in some ways infected by Baruch Kala Me'aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, there's a beautiful Gemara It says that, I mean, it's a sad Gemara, that when they found all the victims of the massacre at Beitar, and they found so many hundreds of heads had been decapitated, so the Gemara counts how many pairs of tefillin they found on their heads. So if they think 400 pairs of tefillin on the decapitated heads of Beitar. It's a very sad time to wear tefillin as your head is being decapitated. You're not necessarily convincing the world. They're not afraid of you. As the Pasuk says, they're looking at your tefillin shalosh and they'll see the Shem Hashem and Yahweh Mecca. But you still have tefillin and your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that's unbreakable and exists beyond time and whether people are convinced or not convinced. So there's a very, very distinct difference between tefillin shel rosh that are public and tefillin shel yad that are l'chalios, for l'lachem b'os. It's not meant to be public. It's meant to be, and think about them not just through the prism of tefillin, but through the prism of your avodas Hashem. Your avodas Hashem can't be defined solely on trying to be makayer of people and spread Torah and teach people, although that's very electrifying and exciting at this stage to learn so that you can share. And we've certainly tried to build that interest in you. Even if you're never able to share your Torah with people, there's something very, very private and pure. When you share it, then it becomes a little less lishma because your ego gets involved, because you want people to like you and your Torah and your profile. When you just learn Torah because you are not Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's just lishma, and it's just lachalios, and you're not sharing it with anyone. I'm not telling you should be stingy about your Torah, chas v'shalom. But there's a certain purity when you're just doing a mitzvah or serving Hashem or learning Torah without anyone watching and no one discovering and no one onlooking, and you're just doing it for purity of purpose. And that's the offset that the tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad are trying to create. One is public, overt, one is very private. The third difference relates to two different phrases about the description of tefillin. In Parshas Bo, when the Torah describes tefillin, if you take a look at source 4, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham Mimitzrayim Biyad Chazakah. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong, source number three. Ki bechozeg yad, v'yalios al yadcha u'letatafoz ben einacha, ki bechozeg yad, hotzianu Hashem mi'Mitzrayim. So you see the juxtaposition of the word al yadcha and chozeg yad. So when we put tefillin on our hands, we're remembering the immense force that Hashem displayed in Mitzrayim and the manner in which He took us out forcibly, in many ways not just against the will of the Egyptians, but against our own will, because we weren't ready, and Hashem accelerated the process, and Hashem had to intervene in a way that was very assertive. Kibuchozik yad. And to remember that, we put tefillin on our hands, but of course not on our right hands, because that's Hashem's hand, so to speak. Hashem is the hand of force. So we try to remember Hashem's chozik yad, but we put it into our weaker hand. For righties, we put it into our left hand. So it's clear that by putting the tefillin on our left hand, we're trying to remember the chozik yad of Hashem in Mitzrayim. What about tefillin shel rosh? Does the Torah say put tefillin shel rosh on your head? What's the lashon pasuk? What do you put tefillin shel rosh? That's why we don't put tefillin here or here. We put it beinecha. So actually, the way the Torah describes tefillin shel rosh is beinecha. So we should really be calling it tefillin shel einayim, not tefillin shel rosh, because the Torah never says rosh. Why are we putting it on our eyes? What about Mitzrayim correlates to our eyes? The hand correlates to Hashem's chozak yad. What about our eyes correlates to Mitzrayim? So the answer is found in two psukim. One in Devarim Veschanan and a parallel pasuk in Yoshua. Let's read those two psukim together with this. We'll end. V'yamarta lebincha, avadim hayinu lefara b'mitzrayim, v'yotzein Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazaka, v'yitein Hashem osels umofsim gdolim v'ra'im b'mitzrayim b'farao v'chol b'yso, le'enenu. In Mitzrayim, the Makos weren't just meant to break the will of the Egyptians and to force them to emancipate the Jews. They also were Hashem revealing Himself to His people, and there are lessons to the Jews about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in each Makos. Makos aren't just penal to punish the Egyptians. They're also educational to teach Am Yisrael about Hashem, because 6 weeks later, they have to stand at Har Sinai. And Hashem is telling them, and we're telling our children, we saw Hashem in Mitzrayim for the first time. Remember, monotheism is a very complicated religion. And we only have 7 weeks to learn about Hashem until Har Sinai. And we've been slaves with limited imagination for 200 plus years. So the Makos is a process of educating. We have to see Hashem in Mitzrayim. And when Yeshua is about to die in Perek Chavdalet, or a little before, but he's trying to get the people to be faithful, Vayan ha'am vayomer, chalila lanu me'azov et Hashem, Ki Hashem, source 5. Ma'aleh tanav esavoseinu meretz mitzrayim veisavadim. Va'asher asa le'eneinu esaosos hagedilos eilu. Hashem didn't just intervene in Mitzrayim in a secret fashion, breaking the Egyptians' will and discharging us. But we saw the miracles. So being that so much of tefillin is pivoted on Mitzrayim, the hand evokes one aspect, and the shel rosh, bein einayim, evokes a different aspect. The hand evokes the chazak yad. The bein einecha evokes that we saw Hashem in Mitzrayim, and this was the first gilui shechina for the Jewish people. Those are three differences between tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. Number one, cognitive versus activity slash emotion. Two, a public spectacle and a public mission versus a very private relationship with Hashem, Tiktara. Three, remembering the force of Hashem in Mitzrayim, but also remembering that we saw Hashem in Mitzrayim, and there was a Gilui Shechina that then, of course, became much more elaborate at Har Sinai, where we actually saw the Shechina in the Yesh. Okay? Hopefully, actually, my voice will come back. Rested over Shabbos.